Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life weekly service for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, glad to be here.
I'd like to welcome all of those joining us live tonight, as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you taking your time to be with us. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we also offer several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, where you can take standalone metaphysical courses and diplomas and degrees as well. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are nine of them. This is what the ICMH Church is based on, as well as our schools and everything we teach. The first principle of belief is do no harm, do right. Two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read these principles in full, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight, we are going to start the discussion off with a couple of topics. The first one we're going to get into involves having the courage to stand up for yourself, and then we're going to talk about human kindness, and then maybe another topic or two as we wrap up, and of course we'll get in some inner oracle card readings as well. So let's start off with the courage to stand up for yourself, always something that's very important to have. And I think a lot of us have learned that lesson from, you know, childhood days. Maybe not yet, though. Sometimes it takes a few years to get that courage. Dr. Hunter?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this for rethinking it for the last few weeks. And I know you and I had a discussion the other night about it, and that no matter what kinds of difficulties that we're faced with, we can't let it take our soul. And that's always been my thing. They can't have my soul. They can't have who I am. And these are tenuous times throughout the world. I mean, no need to go into them. And we agreed not to talk politics or any other events that are going on, but there's some pretty harsh events. And I call this a spiritual war of conscience, to be honest. And it's knowing your conscience and knowing what you can live with in yourself. And no matter how you might be persecuted, how much you might be challenged, even in some really harsh ways, I can't let anybody have who I am. And, you know, it does take a tremendous amount of courage. Equally, it takes self-certainty in knowing who I am, knowing that whatever is taking place isn't right, it's not correct, but that I'm not going to behave that way. I can be fierce, I can be a warrior, But that doesn't necessarily mean any kind of violence. Part of what I really came to terms with in these past number of days and doing a lot of reflecting is what got me through my childhood. And it was a difficult childhood, there's no question, but I always had invisible people to talk to. I always felt and knew the company of spirits in other worlds. And realizing that that was the difference of why perhaps I could get through it and, you know, find ways to recreate myself even after some amounts of damage that required a lot of debriefing mentally, is that I'm not alone. And even though the people I'm looking at and that I might, you know, be at the heavy-handed end of aren't so kind, and in some cases brutal, I still have other worlds. Like, this isn't it. This world, this life, these, you know, people do bad things, violent people, destructive people, some people who act mercilessly on others. That's not real, and that's not who I am. And in that is a kind of courage, it's a spiritual courage, and I believe that. It's in the living in your spiritual conscience of, I know who I am. I remember being 5 years old and looking at my parents, and I said, this isn't the way the world's supposed to be. And it's not. It's not the way the world's supposed to be. But we are recreating that. So the ultimate question, especially in these last few weeks for myself, is what part will I play? Who am I in this? How will I walk in this? And you know, what will I do? What will I take part in? Because those are all choices that we make. Are we going to run and hide, or are we going to stand tall and find that courage in ourselves to know that I'm a free and sovereign being of the universe, learning how to be a better human being? And that's ultimately what I check in with myself every day with, is I'm just here learning to be human, and I'm learning to be a better one and finding different skills that don't take me away from the core of who I am. So that's a bit of a speech tonight, I know, but it's very heartfelt and it's deep. And to share that with you, that it might trigger something inside of yourself to, you know, be at peace with knowing that you're on the right side of conscience and that spiritual conscience. You know, they can do whatever they want with our minds. They can do whatever they want with our bodies. It does not change who we are. And do our best not to allow certain things to contaminate us. So that's my little input for tonight. So.
Now, those are some excellent points, and I think we all do well to remember to ask that, because we look around and there are events going on in the world. There always have been. I mean, it doesn't matter what decade or era you're in. All my life, there have been things going on that are not good. I mean, there's things going on in the world today. I mean, just all over the place that are just not good. They're deeply troubling. They can have a profound effect on our hearts. And so what part are we going to take in that? And we don't want to lose sight of who we are and stick to the core. We don't want to let those events change who we are or change how we behave. We don't want to get violent. It doesn't mean we're pacifists. It just means that we stick up for ourselves in a non-violent way, violent way. We remain true to who we are. Remember our first principle of belief, do no harm, do right. And that kind of, we can segue quite easily into the topic of human kindness. And this is another troubling thing. I mean, there's plenty of people on this planet who are kind and who do kind things. Many of them listening to the program right now. And I've seen many, many, many stories and of students and others who have done great, kind things. They've remembered their human kindness. And that's important, because a lot of places we look, we just don't see that human kindness. A lot of that's in corporate corporations, whether it's corporate America or corporate some other country. You know, they care about one thing, making the money, and they don't really care so much about the people. I see that every day, you know, in my business dealings, and it's unfortunate. And so we don't want to lose sight of that human kindness, and even the concept of and then some, and then some. You know, so when we see somebody who needs a touch of human kindness, offer it. And then some. Go a little bit further. But don't, and that can, again, segue into the concept of judgmentalism, of not assuming you know somebody's plight or assuming that you know why they're behaving the way they are. Look, most people don't intend to misbehave. Most people, there's some that do, some that don't care. But most people don't plan to behave improperly. Most of the reason why people behave improperly is because they lack awareness. That's the primary reason. They lack awareness, and that lack of awareness results in selfishness, short-sightedness, lack of courtesy, lack of thoughtfulness. But it's not because they're necessarily ill-willed or they have ill intent toward anyone. They just lack awareness. They need to grow, and that's true of all of us. We can always grow more. We can always expand our awareness and not forget to offer that human kindness, to be thoughtful, to think of others, to check in with others. Look, we all can improve. I'm by no stretch as good as I want to be in this area, but I try and I continue to improve as I become aware of where I need to improve. And that's the point, isn't it? To become aware and not submit to a lack of awareness, not be happy with mediocrity. We don't want to be happy with mediocrity. We want to deliver greatness to the world. And that means stepping up, standing up for yourself. It means showing human kindness. Those are important things. Any other comments on that, Dr. Hunter?
You know, it comes to mind a couple of teachers I had when I was in junior high school and another in high school, who were the types of people who would look at you and say, I believe in you. And Molly Whelan, and who later we became dear friends, and she's passed now, bless her heart. But I was in grade 8, I think, and it was a very tenuous time for me. And she looked at me square in the eyes one day and said, I know you can do it. And it impacted me in a way that I had never heard those words from anyone before, that somebody would see something in me that I hadn't yet tapped into in myself. It had such an enormous impact, I can't tell you. So when you talk about kindness, it's being able to look at each other in our hearts and being able to see something and help somebody out. It gave me just even that little phrase that she said to me, I built on that. I built on it to the point, and I'll share another little story. Maybe this will help some of you about overcoming fear. And, you know, I don't talk about these things very much because, number one, they're not necessary. It's not a part of my reality anymore. But these are things that help to shape me in a way that I understand other people, and I'm always there for other people if somebody is down or if somebody needs to help up, because I know what it's like to be afraid. But there was a time I was 16 and a huge fight between my parents, and of course the kitchen table's going and smashed bottles. And so I came out, you know, of my bedroom. That's where we lived most of the time. And I came out and asked what was going on. Of course I yelled it. And I got a hand across my face that threw me across the room against a wall and imprinted immediately. I had a big handprint on my face. And, of course, there's a lot of yelling and screaming. I didn't. I was calm. And I got up, walked over, and looked him in the face. And my mother saying, apologize to her, apologize. And I said, I don't ever need an apology from the likes of him. And my father broke down crying and went to his room. And in that moment, there was a courage that I didn't have to be violent back. I didn't have to be anything other than strong in my center and gather my forces, gather my spirit. Now, well, I do understand, though, my mother broke. I mean, she literally died a bag lady with addictions. She didn't have that same place to go to in herself. She was broken. And there's a lot of broken people out there. Sometimes they just need a meal. Today I had an appointment downtown, and this fellow with his buggy said, and it was raining outside. I put money in my meter, and he said, excuse me, ma'am, you got enough for somebody to have a cup of coffee and get dry? And I looked at him, and I said, of course I do. You know, that's all it takes, because that made his day. Really? And maybe he's given a lot of money here. It doesn't matter. He's doing life the best he can because he has a story. But not everybody reaches deep enough and can get to that point. Everybody has some kind of fear they're living with. Now, you know, I hate to admit, I still got my own little concerns now and again. But nobody can push me around. They can try. But if I see somebody else being pushed around, I'm going to look in their eyes. And I'm going to say, you can't do that. And that's all it takes, because bullies prey on fear. Yeah. That's what they do. And it's in their own conscience, in that, again, that spiritual war of conscience, that's their deal. It's not my deal. It's not anybody else's deal. So it's to remember that. I look back on my childhood, and it had nothing to do with me. You know, all of these other horrors that are going on, it has nothing to do with people who are innocent. It has to do with the offender. And this is where that kindness, when I think back to Molly Whalen, you know, George Botchett, my other drama teacher in high school, and other people, Magda, when I met her, after I finished high school and spent 3 years with her apprenticing, you know, as a reader. And, you know, I met Frank Appleyard. And these are people who, again, helped to shape me, even at a very young age, in late teens, early 20s, and deciding who I wanted to be. But it was their kindness. So that's when you talk about doing a kind thing. You never know. The smallest phrase can be pivotal to change somebody's life.
Yeah, good, excellent points and stories and illustrations to support those. You know, it reminds me of, you can just watch people. I mean, everybody watches people, right? Everybody talks about that. But you observe people, and you observe their reactions and their behaviors. And, you know, for the last few months, I've been doing a lot of bike riding, trying to lose a little weight and to get some exercise. And it's interesting when I pass people, because I'll, you know, around here, I don't ride on the roads. There's sidewalks. They have nice sidewalks for walking and biking and other things like that. So I try to stick to that, stay off the road. And I'll pass a few people each day. Some are walking, some are riding. And it's interesting, because I always say good morning to them or good afternoon, whichever time of the day it is, and with a smile and a chipper way. And most people will reply. Most people will. There's been two or three that just ignore me as if I wasn't even there. And others give me, you know, the guy nod. But most people will respond with a good morning in return or something like that. But you look at them and you wonder, you know, what's their story? You know, especially the ones who are so wrapped up in themselves they can't hardly even, you know, get out any kind of a reply. And it's sad. And you know, don't let life take your soul. Don't let the problems, the adversities of this life harvest your soul. Don't forget that we're all human. And we need that human kindness. And we need to show that human kindness, because that is enlightenment. That is spirituality. It's higher end. It's up there. It's higher vibration. That kind of a thing, you know. It's something that we can't let them take us. Look, and I'm saying this as much for my own benefit as anybody else's. You know, for the last week, I've been dealing with email issues, Apparently, last Thursday, the whole world decided that I was the worst spammer on the planet, so they blocked our IP, and we don't spam. We don't send out unsolicited email at all, not at all. But somehow, several companies, Yahoo, AOL, Hotmail, AT&T, iCloud, Live.com, I mean, they all just, you know, we're not going to deliver your emails anymore. It really, really put a burden on me to try to get communicate with students who have all kinds of, you know, different email addresses. Gmail, to their credit, did not block us, and they still haven't. I've never had a problem with Gmail. So if you're looking for an email provider, go to Gmail. I've never had a problem. AOL, on the other hand, is the worst I've ever seen. Never had a problem with Yahoo either, but they just killed me this last week, and even trying to correct it and find out what was wrong. And they basically said, here, you need to keep these things in mind. And when I replied back and said, okay, well, what specifically do I need to do? I've done all that. What else do I need to do? And they just said, we consider this matter closed, and if you want more help, go to the website, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, talk about that human kindness. They didn't care. You know, I have people that I'm responsible for, students and church members, and I got to communicate. You know what I teach? Lack of communication will kill any relationship. And so I had to actually create a Yahoo email account so I could communicate with students who had email or Yahoo email addresses. I already had an AOL account for that very reason as well. So it looks like the matter has been resolved today after a week, and it looks like our emails are going through. So I'm hoping that's the end of it, but it's been such a drain, and it reminded me of this lack of human kindness. They don't care. You know, look, I'm not a spammer. I know our server was hacked a month ago, they didn't steal anything. They just used it to send out spam. Well, I caught it pretty quick, and we fixed those issues right away, and there hasn't been a problem since. But then out of the blue, last week, they started blocking us. And so I still don't know exactly why for sure that they did that. But the point is that they did not care. They didn't look at it as the humanity of it. They just assumed that I was sending out all these unsolicited emails, which were not. And they didn't look at it closer. And it struck me how that's so wrong. And it happens with corporations a lot. They don't so much care about even customer service has taken a bad hit. It's not what it should be. And we don't want to fall into that. We don't want to just get fed up with the system and behave like they do. That's the courage to stand up for what's right. Stand up for who you are, for what's truly right. Do no harm. Do right. And have that courage. Don't let anybody tell you how to behave. You behave according to your good conscience and in the spirit of do no harm, do right. And speaking of emails, I wanted to offer a few tips on emails that will help everybody. Look, everybody gets spam. I get tons of spam every day. I delete it. If you have one of these free email accounts, you usually have the ability to count it as spam or mark it as junk, something like that. You know, as somebody who's on the other end of this, who's an innocent victim in all this, don't use those. Just delete it. They're going to keep coming regardless of whether you reported as spam or junk or not. They're going to keep coming because what's happened is these spammers, these hackers have gone out and they have victimized innocent servers and IPs, and they use those to send all this stupid, you know, emails, spams. And when you hit junk or spam, it penalizes the innocent server, innocent party. And, of course, it takes a bit sometime to catch that you've been hacked. I monitor this every day now. Every day I'm monitoring our email queue to make sure that we're not being hacked or sending out spam. So just delete them, and that will help. You know, it's just an automatic. You see a spam, delete it. Just delete it. Don't junk it. Don't spam it. Just delete it. And in terms of email etiquette, I just want some reminders, especially to students who might be listening to this. And at IMHS, in course B3, we talk about email etiquette. And I want to reemphasize that when you're sending an email, remember the human kindness thing. Remember that you're conversing with a real live human being on the other end. You may not know them, but they're still a human being, and they have their victories and their defeats. They have their likes and their dislikes. They've had their hardships, just like you. So use salutation, you know, hi so-and-so. Keep your message upbeat. Remember, tone can only be expressed in words, so you got to be very careful and read it twice or three times. Make sure it's proofed and spelled properly, because you are known, your reputation is by your writing. I mean, when it comes to that kind of a thing, they'll judge you according to your writing. So proof it, make sure it's right, use spell check, and then close with your name, full name. If you're a student, I need your first and last name. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students around the world, and so if I don't get a name, I can usually find it in the email address, or if there's no name whatsoever, I have to do a search in my student database to figure out who it was that's emailing me. So always use your first and last name. Don't type in all lowercase or all uppercase. Type your name properly, and just keep those things in mind. If you're going to send emails to several people at once for whatever reason, it happens sometimes, you might need to contact several people, send them a, maybe you have a group or something you're sending an email to. Don't put all their email addresses in the to field. Send it to yourself, put your own email address in the send to field, and then put all of their email addresses in the BCC field, blind carbon copy. That way, you're protecting their email addresses from potential hackers or spammers. So keep that in mind as well. I think that's the big ones, you know, as far as email tips go. Now, let's pull some cards. So did I miss anything in the chat while I was rambling on?
Actually, an interesting topic came up. So if it's all right, I'll address this for a moment. Zach had asked...
Before you do that, I'm just going to say, if you'd like a card pulled, will you start putting your name in there and we'll make a list? Go ahead.
Well, Zach has asked about ancestry, and he said specifically how we can often be handed down pre-programming from our, you know, parents and their beliefs, recognizing and correcting behaviors that are handed down to us, or is that generational karma? You know, and he didn't know what generational karma is. Well, the reason, what really twigged on me for that, Zach, is that very often in indigenous communities and some other Wiccan communities and so on, believe that, you know, when they make statements like, you know, that will be passed down to your children, that curse will be passed to your children, what they're really referring to is emotional memory. So it's, you know, the bad deeds of the parents and they're still having children, that gets passed down. Now, epigenetic memory is a study of, it's really to study the emotional memory, not just matters of what your physical traits are. I do cover some of that in the healing course that I wrote, because it's really important that when you're dealing with people or working to heal people, and whether you're doing Reiki or counseling, it doesn't matter, is don't assume that something is just, you know, somebody's having an issue just because of, you know, their own experience in life. It can come, a lot of people believe in reincarnation, it comes from there, but we can actually pass down memories from our ancestors. And the story that I love to tell is a girl I knew when I was 16. This really is when I started to study that is, and Fran just said, data passed through DNA. This girl I knew in, we were around the time of 16, we'd often talk about psychic stuff, and I was studying, I had all my witchcraft books and all my stuff, but she would have these night terrors and horrific dreams about being burned at the stake. And finally, she wasn't sleeping. I finally said, you got to tell your mom. And of course, her mom looked like one of those really witchy kind of women anyway. But she went and she told her mom, and her mom didn't say a word. She went to the old trunk and brought out a photograph really old photograph of her grandmother. This is her mom's grandmother. And so they looked identical. What my friend did not know is that they were in fact from Massachusetts. She did not know they had immigrated up from the States. She didn't know about this great-grandmother of hers, but she was, in fact, burned at the stake for practicing witchcraft. And that was just the freakiest thing. Got to know, that's a long time ago now. But to be talking about that at age 16 and thinking, how do we pass down that memory? How did she have a memory in her body that would remember that it wasn't a past life like we assumed it was, but in fact that it passed down? Now, Zach, of course, was wondering, how do we change that? You know, how do we correct it? How can we work on it? And again, I said this time and time again, is know who you are and ask yourself, where could that have come from? If you see something in yourself, say, is that really something I want? Is that something that a way I want to be? Because you're in the recreation of yourself is what you are. And in that recreation, being really honest, one of the things that I did, of course, age appropriate, was to share with my children who I am, where I've come from, my life, so that we could be aware of it together and that they wouldn't necessarily, at least they'd know if they had any tendencies, whether addictive kinds of traits or otherwise, that they could see that in themselves and know that they could become better and change it. So epigenetic memory is a great study. If you're interested, you can look it up, and it's like you could learn a lot about yourself through genetic memory. It's fascinating. So I understand we have some.
Yep, some we've got Dr. Shirley first for a card.
Hi, Shirley. I understand you moved. I hope everything has gone really well, because I picked evolution for you, which is number 18. I'm pulling it out right now in the existential suit. So for you, evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. We know that. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you, and thus your entropy is lowered. So you're in this evolutionary shift. So that would kind of make sense, but I would say it's probably at emotional levels as well as, mental levels and your life force, you know, moving. So that's pretty powerful.
Good stuff. All right. Fran is next.
Hi, Fran. Fran was mentioning, too, that, how much she loves the study of epigenetic memory, so it's great. I got balance and order, number 8, for you, Fran. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored and to the life leadership paragon in the areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. So just a few little things to check in with yourself sometimes, balance and order is restored. So I hope that makes sense to you, friend. Dr. Shirley just said she is still in the process of moving into, and she'll be moving in mid-November, so that's your evolution. That's exciting.
Cool. All right, Tabitha is next.
Hi, Tabby. Nice to see you here. You got unknowable, number 4. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. Remember, what was once unknowable is now knowable. remain flexible and open to change.
That's a good card.
It is. It is a good card. It's kind of like whatever you're focusing on, that's all yours. Changes the frequency.
It does, and that goes right back to that level of awareness I was talking about earlier, that when we change our belief system, change our mind, we change our attitude, different things open up to us. So now what we didn't know before, maybe we can know now. Maybe we'll get it, you know. So
Tabitha is saying, she's saying on point. That's good.
All right, so Dr. Darlene is next.
Hi, Darlene. Entropy. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's in the wild card. Entropy is a frequency. Remember that. It's an intensity of frequency of energy. So I read this to you. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. I know, it's kind of like I have dyslexic moments reading that sometimes too. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place. So if that, it's just really about looking at the frequency of energy and neat when you, things that are there that no longer serve you or it's no longer resonating to your frequency, you know, you come back to your own and your entropy is lowered again. So
just remember that entropy is basically the state of disorder. It's the process of things going back to the dust, of things deteriorating. You know, things go to, they rust and they disintegrate. That's entropy. And, you know, old age and dying, that's entropy. And then there's the entropy that, you know, you could liken to usefulness. For example, if you've got something and it hasn't been maintained and it's very old and it falls apart, it becomes useless. So, you know, you could almost argue that, you know, the high entropy is high uselessness. And so we don't want that. We don't want high entropy. We want low entropy. When something has low entropy, it stays around a long time.
Yep, that's great. So I think there's Bridget is the last one, is it?
Mm-hmm,
hi, Bridget. I saw you there. Okay, number 21, insight and wisdom. Yeah, I like them all, but I like this one too. So this one's for you. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment and seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. So, you know, when we know a whole bunch of stuff, it's just information. But knowledge is being able to utilize that stuff.
Wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just looking deep into something. So it's having insight and wisdom to apply yourself in a new way.
All right. Good points.
Anybody else?
I didn't see any other
nope.
any other takers. So tonight we have talked about a number of important things. We're talking about courage to stand up for yourself, extending human kindness, email etiquette, epigenetic memory, evolution, balance and order, unknowable, entropy, insight and wisdom, and a lot of other points, you know, nestled in between. So hopefully you found something of value in tonight's program. These inner oracle cards have a lot of wisdom in them, and if you don't have your own deck, you can order it on our website, which if you're listening to this, you're probably on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Just look for the menu item above that says store, and you'll find them there, and you can have your own deck. There comes with a guidebook, and They're excellent to get you thinking, and that's the point of them. They're self-discovery cards. They're designed to help us raise our level of awareness. We appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight for listening to the live program. It's great to have you here in the chat room. If you listen to the archive, we appreciate it very much. Let other people know about this program. And if you are not yet a student at one of our schools, we invite you to look at those. Our flagship school is metaphysicsinstitute.org. Get your degrees in a number of different topics like counseling, coaching, healing, paranormal, parapsychology, hypnosis, and many others. So take a look at that. If you just want to take a single course, then TF University, Thomas Francis University, tfuniversity.org is the place to go for single courses. And so that's that. So again, thank you to everybody. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Mike for handling things behind the scenes tonight. We appreciate all of you. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.